Hare Krishna, dear devotees, and good morning.
Hare Krishna, 亲爱的奉献者们, 大家早上好。
Sorry for this late start. I had some internet connection problems on this side.
不好意思, 今天开始晚了, 因为我这边的网络连接不好。
Hopefully, we've resolved them. So let's see how we go.
希望接下来网络能够顺利。
For some weeks, we have been having special classes, appearance days, and whatnot.
过去几周，因为每周一的时候，有几次都是赶上节日。 所以我们讲述了有关节日的一些话题。
And because of that, we've accumulated quite a few questions.
而且也没来得及回答问题，就目前就积累了一些来自于上几周的问题。
So I thought for today's class, we'll just devote the time to answering those questions.
所以今天的早课，我们就用这个时间把。 之前积累遗留的问题回答一下。
Well, let us begin by offering our humble obeisances.
首先我们向来供奉并拜祷文。
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Shamaniti Namane Namaste Sarasati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirevisesha Shunyavari Pashtitya Desha Tarane Vanchakalpaturubhyascha kripa sindubhyevacha Patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Okay, question number one. Last year, a new devotee offered lamps to the Lord during Kartik, but he did it anti-clockwise. Is there any bad consequence for that?
第一个问题，有奉献者问到说，马上就到Kartik月了，在上次Kartik月供灯时，新人供奉酥油灯的时候，绕圈绕反了，就是先逆时针。 绕圈绕了几圈后，整个供奉程序的大概一半的时间才顺时针绕，这样会有什么不好的后果吗？
Well, I have not read that there's any serious consequence for offering articles counterclockwise.
我还没有在哪里读到说，在供灯的时候逆时针的供奉会有什么严重的后果。
But clockwise is the way that the universe turns.
那顺时针是整个宇宙的旋转的规律。
And thus, the Vedas teach us that we should do everything in a clockwise fashion.
所以伟大经典当中就推荐我们做这些仪式的时候都顺时针来做。
But it's the norm in some cultures to do things anti-clockwise.
当然在有的文化当中, 的一个习惯是逆时针做。
But as far as possible, our standard is that we offer clockwise.
但是我们的标准是尽可能的, 顺时针来做。
I know in China, it seems to be somewhat the norm to do things anti-clockwise.
在中国，看上去好像有的事情，是逆时针来做的。I
know this because when I walk in a clockwise fashion. I mean to say, when I do a morning walk, and I'm often, passed by people coming the opposite direction. They're walking anti-clockwise.
我之所以这么说，是因为我每天早上会出去散步。我散步的时候通常是顺时针走的，但是我会遇到一些人是逆时针。
So we're creatures of habit. So if we're brought up in a particular culture and we've done things in a certain way, you know, it's hard to retrain ourselves.
我们都是受习惯影响的生物体，所以如果是在某种文化当中成长起来的，再重新去训练我们来用另外一种习惯去做事就比较难。
But in Vedic culture, it's clear that we offer items in a clockwise fashion.
但是在伟达文化当中说得很清楚，我们供奉这些吉祥的物品的时候都是顺时针的。
I will also say this, that in general, Krishna is more interested in devotion than ritual.
另一方面，我想说的是Krishna 更感兴趣的是我们的奉爱，而不是这个仪式本身。
So even if one makes some mistake in the offering, if the devotion is there, Krishna accepts it.
所以就算有人在供奉的过程当中，外在的仪式上犯了一些错，但如果有奉爱的心态的话， Krishna 依然会接受的。
We have extreme examples of that.
我们有很多这方面的极端的例子。
We have Vidura who offered Krishna a banana peel instead of the banana.
比如说 Vidura 供奉给 Krishna 的是香蕉皮而不是香蕉。
And Krishna gladly accepted it.
Krishna 还是欣然接受了。
Krishna also tells us in the Gita, Patram Pushpam Palam Toyam, that if one offers me with love and devotion, a flower, a fruit, or water, I'll accept it.
Krishna 也在《薄伽梵歌》当中说了，如果一个人能够怀着奉爱之心为我供奉一片叶、一朵花、一些水果，我都会接受。
And Prabhupada explains that the main ingredient for any offering is bhakti or devotion.
是的 ，Prabhupada 也解释说，任何供奉的物品当中核心的材料是 bhakti， 是奉爱。
We also hear in the sixth canto in the pastime of Ajamil that in one purport Prabhupada writes, even if one chants the holy name of a lord with improper pronunciation, he will achieve relief from material bondage if he chants without offense.
在圣殿波迦坛第六篇。讲到阿扎弥勒的故事的时候，在一个师姐的要旨当中，圣普拉帕的评论说，一个人在唱诵 Hare Krishna Maha Mantra 的时候，即便是发音不准确，但只要他是不带冒犯的唱诵，他也能够获得解脱。
So, bottom line is, we should offer articles clockwise, because that's what we've been trained to do by our acharyas. And we should also offer whatever we offer to Krishna with as much devotion as we possibly can.
所以基本的原则底线就是我们尽可能的顺时针去供奉这些吉祥的物品，因为这是先前的 Acharya 们训练我们教导我们的。第二就是无论供奉什么都要怀着尽可能多的奉爱之心。
But I have not read nor heard that there's any bad consequence for offering a counterclockwise.
关于逆时针旋转会逆时针绕会带来的后果，我并没有读到。
Okay, we're moving on to question number two. How can we follow Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's perfect example to only render pure devotional service and not be allured by material achievements?
第二个问题 ，Radhika， 请问我们应该如何追随 Bhaktivinoda Thakur 的完美榜样，只是去纯粹的做奉爱服务，而不受到物质成就的诱惑呢
？Well, first thing to understand is that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is a liberated soul.
首先需要理解的是 ，Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur 本身就是解脱的灵魂。
We can't imitate him.
我们不能模仿他。
But we can follow in his footsteps by following his instructions.
但是我们可以通过追随他的训示来追随他的榜样，他的步伐。
So he spoke a lot about the need to practice regulated devotional service.
释迦 牟尼 塔库尔 谈到了我们需要做规范的妨碍服务休息。
He also taught by example that one should make a schedule.
他也以身作则的教导我们，我们应该有一个日程表。
It is said if you fail to plan, you plan to fail.
有句话说，凡事预则立，不预则废。
So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he had a very detailed schedule from early morning to late at night.
Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur 有一个很详尽的、很具体的每天的日程表，从清晨到午夜。
And he used that schedule to prioritize his devotional practices.
他用这个日程表让自己把重点放在灵性休息上。
Prioritize his japa, his study.
他的japa念诵还有经典的学习会放在首位。
A good amount of time was spent in his writing.
会花大量的时间写作。
Because that was one of the main ways that he preached.
这因为写作是他传教的主要方式之一。
So he prioritized his devotional activities while minimizing his bodily needs. He slept very little. He ate twice a day in very regulated amounts.
所以呢，他把他的灵性休息放在了首位。 并且把他躯体的需求减到了最少。他睡眠的时间很短，每天只吃两餐，每天吃的东西的量也是很规律的。Again,
we can't imitate him by trying to sleep a few hours, 3 hours a day. It's not going to work.
当然，我们是模仿不了他的。比如说，模仿他每天只睡很少的时间，三个小时左右，这是不行的。
Again, the takeaway here is that we should make a schedule that works for us.
这里的重点就是我们要制定一个适合我们的日程表。And
ideally, that schedule should prioritize our devotional practices.
那这个一个理想的日程表就是将我们的重点放在灵性休息上。
And when I say practices, that includes our services.
我说的灵性休息也包括实际的妨碍服务。
He put a lot of emphasis on chanting the holy name without offense.
释迦牟尼 塔库尔也非常强调不带冒犯的唱诵圣名。
So, of course, it goes without saying, that is the main way that we become purified and not allured by, the material energy.
所以不带冒犯的唱诵圣名，毫无疑问，这是我们能够培养起纯粹的，做纯粹奉爱服务的心态，不受物质能量诱惑的主要的方式。
So, in summary, set priorities by making a written schedule. It should be centered around the practice.
所以总结一下就是首先我们要写下一个日程表，并且以灵性休息为重点，为中心。Become
purified.
从而获得净化。
And then if we get the taste from this, then naturally we'll want to also give this to other people.
如果通过这样的休息，自己获得了品味，我们自然也想去派发给别人。Moving
on to question three, Krishna is beautiful and Radharani is also beautiful. Who of them is more beautiful?
第三个问题是 Krishna 美 ，Radha 美，请问他俩谁更美？
Well, let's go to what Shastra says.
我们还是回到经典的说法。
So in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it says that Krishna is known as Madan Mohan.
Chaitanya Charitamrita 当中说 ，Krishna 被称为是 Madana Mohan。
Madana means Cupid.
Madana 的意思是丘比特。
And of course, Cupid enchants everyone.
丘比特会迷倒每个人。
But Krishna is known as Madan Mohan because he's so beautiful that he enchants even Cupid.
Krishna 被称为 Madana Mohan 是因为他非常迷人甚至能够迷倒丘比特。
But Krishna himself is enchanted by Srimati Radharani.
而 Krishna 本人却会被 Srimati Radharani 迷住。
Therefore, she's known as Madana Mohana Mohini, the enchanter of the enchanter of Cupid.
所以 Radharani 被称为是 Madana Mohana Mohini,是那个吸引了吸引丘比特的人。
So it seems that from Krishna's perspective, Radharani is more beautiful.
所以，这样看来，从 Krishna 的角度来看 ，Radharani 是更美的。
But from Radharani's perspective, Krishna is more beautiful.
但从 Radharani 的角度来看 ，Krishna 是更美的。
Beauty is in the eyes of the beholder.
我们说，情人眼里出西施。
But from our condition, position, we should think that both Radha and Krishna are beautiful and not make distinctions.
但是在我们目前的受制约的状态下，受制约的层面，我们应该去理解 Radha 和 Krishna 都是很美的，我们不应该去做区分。
Question number four.You can read it's long. Go ahead, you read the Chinese.
第四个问题叫 Manapriya, 我的顶拜古鲁圣 Radha 的美丽与品质今年的精彩描述变得更加甜美了。我想请教您 Vrishabhanu 王夫妇算是 Radharani 的亲生父母还是只是养父母呢？我听到有不同的说法。我们庆祝 Radharani 的显现日是指他出生日期还是被 Vrishabhanu 王夫妇剪刀的那个日子呢？
Well, I think and of course there are different versions of the story according to different kalpas.
当然在不同的 kalpa, 不同的年代就是有不同的版本对这个消时光。
But according to the pastime that is most often quoted, you know, we have King Vrishabhanu and Kirtita Mataji taking up residence in a place called Ravel.
那我们根据我们引用最多的经典这个版本，那就是Vrishabhanu 王和 Kirtita Mataji 他们。搬到 Ravel 这个地方住的时候
They did that because they were unable to conceive.
他们之所以搬到 Ravel 这个地方就是因为他们怀不上孩子。
And early one morning, Vrishabhanu Maharaj went to the river Jamuna to take his bath.
有一天清晨 Vrishabhanu 王去杨那河沐浴。
And he saw this very beautiful lotus flower in the center of the river.
看到Yamuna 河中央有一朵很美丽的莲花。
And as he looked more closely, he saw that on that lotus flower was lying a very a small and very beautiful child.
他凑近看的时候，发现这个莲花中央躺着一个美丽的小女婴。
And the brilliance of her golden complexion was brighter than millions of suns.
据说她金色的皮肤闪亮的胜过几百万轮太阳。
And so Vrishabhanu Maharaj was completely mesmerized by the beauty of that child and he wanted to reach her.
Vrishabhanu 王被这个小孩子的美丽完全的吸引了所以他就想去抱过她来。
So he picks her up and he takes her back to Kirtita, and they both believe that their prayers have been answered.
So, Vishvanuan 就抱起了这个小女婴，把她带回了家。他和 Sisirtita 都觉得这是他们的祈祷得到了回应。
But very soon they they noticed that the girl could not open her eyes, and she appeared to be blind.
很快，他们发现这个小女婴看上去是目盲的，眼睛都睁不开。
And of course, we know that Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda and very young Krishna came to visit.
后来我们知道 Nanda Maharaj 和 Yashoda 妈妈带着小 Krishna 来拜访 Vrishabhanu 王一家。
And when the two couples were talking with one another, Krishna took the opportunity to, well, at least in one of the accounts, he crawls to the cradle of Radharani and he puts his lotus face right before her.
那当两对夫妇在谈话的时候，这时候 Krishna 就溜进了 Radharani 所在的房间，让他的莲花脸正对着Radharani 的脸。
And when Radharani feels that Krishna is there, then and only then does she open her eyes, because the only thing she wanted to see was her beloved Krishna.
至少我们听到的一个版本是这样的，当Krishna 让自己的莲花脸正对着 Radharani 的时候， Radharani 感受到 Krishna 在他身边了，他才睁开了眼睛，因为他想睁开眼睛第一眼看到的是他亲爱的 Krishna。
So in that respect, the Lord arranges for Radharani to take her birth in these circumstances and then to be raised by Vrishabhanu Maharaj and Kirtita Mataji。
所以从某种意义上讲是主的安排 Srimati Radharani在这样的环境下以这样的方式出生，并且被 Vrishabhanu 王和 Kirtita Mataji 抚养。
So it's obvious that they did not undergo biological type of arrangements, so this was a divine arrangement, so in that respect you can say they were more like foster parents.
所以从这个过程来看，他们Radharani 出生的方式并不是通过通常的这种孕育的方式出生的，所以 Vrishabhanu 王和他妻子可以算是 Srimati Radharani 的养父，因为 Radharani 的出生更是多的是神圣的一种安排。
Going on to question 5, Srimati Radharani is the source of all energy, so.Is she also the source of Shri Balaram's energy?
第五个问题， Srimati Radharani 是所有能量的源泉，也是 Shri Balaram 能量的源泉吗？
And the shorter answer is no, Krishna is.
简单回答就是不是，Krishna 才是 Shri Balaram 能量的源泉。
We know that Krishna has three kinds of internal potency.
我们知道Krishna 有三种内在能量。
We have Ladini, the pleasure potency.
有 Ladini 是它的内在能量，喜乐能量。
We have Sandini, the existential potency.
还有 Sandini 是Krishna 的存在能量。
And we have Samvit, the cognitive potency.
还有它的 Samvit, 觉知，知识能量。
So Radharani is Ladini Shakti.
Radharani 属于主的 Ladini Shakti, 喜乐能量。
Krishna's pleasure potency.
Krishna 的喜乐能量。
So when Krishna wants to enjoy, who can he enjoy with? So he has to create that enjoyment, and that is coming from his own being. And so Radharani, in the form of Ladini Shakti, takes that position.
但 Krishna 想要享受的时候，谁能够配合他，谁能够给他这个享受呢？那只有他自己来创造这种这个享受的对象。所以，Radharani就承担了这个角色，扮演的这个角色。
And Balaram is Sandini.
而 Balaram 属于 Sandini, 是主的永恒存在能量。
So, two different potencies, two different categories of the internal potencies.
所以 Radharani 和 Balaram 属于主 Krishna 的不同的内在能量。
And we also see that because Balaram is like playing the role of the elder brother, that he doesn't take part in the pastimes with Krishna and Radharani and the gopis and all, because if he were there, it would create kind of an uncomfortable situation for Krishna. And in the nectar devotion is called a rasa bas. It's an improper mixing of rasas.
而且我们知道，主 Balaram 他扮演的是那 Krishna 的哥哥的角色，他是 Krishna 的哥哥，所以他不参与 Radha Krishna 的小时光，不参与Krishna 和那些牧牛姑娘的小时光，因为如果 Balaram 参与的话，会让 Krishna 感到一种不舒服的不自在的感觉，在。 奉爱的甘露当中谈到这种感受，这种滋味是被称为是 rasa bus， 是一种情感或者是感受的混杂的一种感受。
So although he doesn't appear as Balaram, he appears as Ananga Manjari, the sister of Radharam.
虽然在 Radha Krishna 还有 Krishna 和牧牛姑娘的小时光当中，不 Balaram 没有。 直接以 Balaram 的形象参与，但是他以 Ananga Manjari Radharani 的妹妹的形象参与了。He
also plays the role of the guru and the inspirer for everyone. So he's like the origin, the potency behind Guru Tattva.
主 Balaram 也扮演着灵性导师和鼓舞者的角色，他鼓舞着每个人，所以说，他可以算是 Guru Tattva 有关Guru的真相的能量，有关就是 Guru 的能量的源头。Because
in the form of Balaram, he makes all the arrangements for the worship of Krishna.
因为，他以 Balaram 的形象为 Krishna 的为服 Krishna 做出了种种安排。Okay,
number six.
第六个问题，顶拜Guru，请问在课上Guru说 Radha 和 Krishna 的爱情是灵性的，与物质世界男女爱情不一样，只是指他们的爱情是永恒的吗？ 还是还有其他的不一样?
Of course, there is a vast difference.
当然，这两种爱是有天壤之别的。
The spiritual love that is exchanged between Radha and Krishna is compared to be gold.
Radha Krishna 之间的灵性的爱被称为是，可以比作是黄金。
And the mundane love which is exchanged between man and woman in this world is compared to the iron.
世俗男女之间的爱情被比作是铁。
So Radha and Krishna's spiritual exchange is real love, and the exchanges between a mundane man and a mundane woman in this world is based on lust.
Radha 和 Krishna 之间的爱的交流是真爱，而 世俗男女之间的所谓的爱情只是基于色欲。
So the desire to gratify one's own senses is kama or lust.
想要满足自己的感官的这种欲望是色欲，被称为是 kama。
But the desire to please the senses of Krishna is prema or love.
而想要取悦满足 Krishna 的感官的这种愿望被称为是 prema 爱。
So essentially, the object of lust is to enjoy one's own senses.
所以世俗的爱情或者说是色欲，它的目标是满足自己的感官。
Love caters to the enjoyment of Krishna.
爱应该是指向 Krishna 的。
So lust and love are quite different.
爱和色欲是很不一样的。
And the Chaitanya Charitamrita gives an example that lust is like very dense darkness.
永恒的朱查坦尼亚经当中有个例子，有个比喻，就是说色欲好比是沉沉的黑暗。
But love is like the bright sun.
爱就好比是明亮的太阳。
We also understand through our scriptures that the original love that we have for Krishna, when we come to this material world, is transformed into lust.
我们从经典当中也了解到，我们对 Krishna 的原本的爱，在我们来到物质世界的时候，就转变成了色欲。
And through the process of Krishna consciousness, we're transforming that lust back into love.
通过 Krishna 智觉的休息程序，我们把色欲变回原本的爱。
Therefore, to the extent that a husband and wife enjoy a spiritual relationship in that they practice the principles of spiritual life, you know, to that extent, their exchanges can be on the spiritual plane, much less on the mundane plane.
所以夫妻双方，男女双方，在多大程度上能够共同的去修习灵性的生活原则，那么他们在多大程度上就能够培养起灵性的关系、情感，他们的交流也就更多的处在灵性的层面。
Based more on service.
更多的基于对主的服务。
Giving service to the other and not taking service.
只会是去给予对方服务，而不是接受索取。
Let's go on to seven.
我们看第七个问题。Barja Madhidimbai Maharaj 的莲花族Dimbai 翻译感恩Maharaj 讲述的甜美逍遥时光。我有一个问题， Radha 从出生第一眼看到的就是 Krishna， 连眼睛都不愿眨动，那他那么深爱着 Krishna， 为什么他却先嫁给了别人，他有别的丈夫，再来偷偷爱 Krishna？
This can be a bit confusing if one doesn't understand our philosophy.
如果不了解我们 Krishna 智觉的哲学的话，就很容易让人迷惑。
There are two kinds of moods. One is svakya, means the type of married relationship, and there's parakya, like that in which there is a paramour.
Paramour. What is paramour?
Paramour. Paramour means like a lover. You have to look. You should know that word. It's in our shastra.
Okay.
It's an English word.
Okay. 有两种心态，两种情感的滋味。一种叫做 svakya， 一种叫做 parakya。Svakya 就是在婚姻关系当中的这种爱。这种情感，另外一种叫做 parakya， 是情侣的爱。
Now of course, in our material, in the material world, you know, in most cultures, to have a paramour is considered to be immoral.
在物质世界，在很多文化当中。 比如有人要有个情人, 我们会认为这是不道德的。
And but in Krishna consciousness, it is a way to increase rasa, because it is conducted on the spiritual plane. It's not about lust, as we just explained. It's about love.
在 Krishna 之觉的范畴内，在 Krishna 之觉的层面，我们说这样，因为它像刚刚解释的，它是在爱真正的爱的层面进行的，在灵性的层面进行的，所以它是一种增加、增强 rasa。
So to facilitate this, Radharani has a so-called husband by the name of Abhimanyu.
为了促进这种rasa爱的交流，增强这种爱，所以 Radharani 有一位所谓的丈夫，称为 Abhimanyu.
But because no other person can touch Radharani except Krishna, Abhimanyu is actually an expansion of Krishna's shadow.
因为除了 Krishna 以外，没有人能够真正触碰到 Radharani. 所以说, Abhimanyu 是 Krishna 的一个影子的扩展.
So Abhimanyu is the so-called husband. And then we have the mother of Abhimanyu, who is called Jatila.
Abhimanyu is Radharani's名义上的丈夫，而他的Abhimanyu的母亲是Jatila.
And then the sister of Abhimanyu is called Kotila.
Abhimanyu的妹妹是Kotila.
So they're always protecting Radharani, thinking that, you know, Krishna will come, or that there will be something going on. They are always very suspicious.
他们都在全力的在保护 Radharani, 想保住 Radharani. 他们总怀疑，总担心 Krishna 会来.
So there's a lot of intrigue that surrounds this relationship.
所以这个关系当中就有很多的曲折。
Therefore, it brings out various types of emotions, various types of rasa.
这种有这样的各种关系，还有情节的曲折，促进了更多的情感的交流，更多的 rasa。 情感的品味.
So because of this, there are quite some comical pastimes that take place.
也正因为如此，在整个过程当中有很多很具有喜剧性的小时光.
So one day, Abhimanyu, as we said, the so-called husband of Radharani, was returning home.
有一天, Radharani 的所谓的丈夫 Abhimanyu 正在回家的路上.
And at that time, Krishna was in the house.
那时候, Krishna 已经到了家里.
So then Krishna immediately changed his dress to look exactly like Abhimanyu.
Krishna 就迅速换了一身衣服，把自己打扮的跟 Abhimanyu 一模一样。
And approached Abhimanyu's mother, Jatila.
然后就走向 Abhimanyu 的母亲 Jatila。
And he told her, "You know, my dear mother, I am your real son, Abhimanyu."
这就跟 Jatila, 亲爱的母亲，我是你的儿子阿比曼纽。
But just see, there's Krishna. He's dressed up like me and he's coming before you.
他说，但是你看那个，Krishna, 他变成我的样子，却向你走过来。
And then Jatila immediately believed that Krishna was her own son. And then when she saw the real so-called Abhimanyu coming, she got angry at him.
Jatila 就立即接受了 Krishna 变成的 Abhimanyu 为他自己的儿子。他看到自己的真正的那个儿子 Abhimanyu 回来了，他就很生气。
She got a stick and began driving him away.
拿起个棍子就要把他赶走。
And Abhimanyu saying, Mother, Mother, what are you doing?
Abhimanyu 就喊起来了，说，妈妈，妈妈，你在做什么？
And this is mentioned in the Nectar Devotion, actually. And so it said, seeing this incident, all the girlfriends of Radharani, who were present there, began to smile.
就在父爱的甘露里面有提到这个小时光，那就描述到说 Radharani 的女友们看到这一幕都笑了。
So this facilitates certain exchanges between Krishna and his devotees.
所以这些角色这样的关系更加的促进了Radha Krishna 和Krishna促进了 Krishna 和他的奉献者之间的爱的交流。
So again, this so-called husband of Radharani is Abhimanyu, an expansion of Krishna's shadow.
所以所谓的 Radharani 的丈夫 Abhimanyu 其实也是 Krishna 的影子扩展。
Let's move on to question 8.
再看第八个问题。Panchatattva Prabhu 问 Hare Krishna Mahamantra 是对 Radharani 的祈祷还是对 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的祈祷？
Well, let's go to what Prabhupada said.
我们回到 Prabhupada 的解释。
He often taught us that the meaning of the Mahamantra was very simple.
是的 Prabhupada 经常教导说 Mahamantra 的含义其实很简单。
O energy of the Lord, O Lord, please engage me in your service.
O 主的能量啊 O 主啊请让我为你们服务吧。
So first we're praying to Radharani, then we're praying to Krishna.
所以首先我们向 Radharani 祈祷然后向 Krishna 祈祷。
And we're praying to Radharani first because if she accepts us and recommends us to Krishna, Krishna will never refuse us.
我们先向 Radharani 祈祷是因为如果我们向 Radharani 祈祷取悦了他 Radharani 向 Krishna 推荐我们的话 Krishna 就不会拒绝我们。
So in Braj, everyone knows this very well.
So in Braj, Vrindavan, 大家都知道这一点。
And there we're often greeted by Radhe, 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 Radhe.
所以在Vrindavan人们互相打招呼都会说 Radhe, Radhe.
They don't say Krishna, Krishna.
他们不会说 Krishna, Krishna.
They say Radhe, Radhe. Because they know if Radharani accepts and recommends us to Krishna, then Krishna will accept.
因为他们经常说 Radhe, Radhe, 是因为他们明白如果Radharani 被取悦了 Krishna 也就会被取悦就会接受我们
So Krishna manifests as Radharani his female form
Krishna 展示为 Radharani 他的女性的形体
and shows that she's his best worshipper
向人们展示他是最好的崇拜者
So in this way, we are chanting the Maha Mantra.
向我们展示 Radharani 是最好的崇拜者，所以我们在Maha Mantra 当中首先向 Radharani 祈祷。
And of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he comes to propagate this mantra.
而当然，扯金尼马哈帕布的到来是为了推广这个马哈曼特。
He's coming to inaugurate the Sankirtan movement.
马哈帕布的到来是为了启动推广 Sankirtan 集颂圣名运动。
So he's Krishna coming in the form of Srimati, coming in the mood of Srimati Radharani.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna 以 Radharani 的心态心绪到来。
But he is in the position of propagating this mantra.
而他的使命而他要做的是去传播这个 mantra。
Let's move on to number 9.
第九个喷射他的跑步的问题。普坦纳的消失光象征着假咕噜。如何理解这一点？假咕噜是训示咕噜还是启迪咕噜？假咕噜没有资格吗？
Okay, so, what we know,basically from Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that he explains that the different demons in Krishna Lila, they represent different anartas.
Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur 的解释 Krishna 消失光当中的不同的恶魔都代表着我们内心不同的 anarta, 内心的不洁。
And as Panchadatta Prabhu says, yes,Putana represents the pseudo guru.
就像 Panchatattva Prabhu 在问题当中提到的 ，Putana 象征着假咕噜。
But Bhaktivinoda goes on to explain, the pseudo guru may be either a person or one's own conditioned mind.
Bhaktivinoda.它可以指的是某一个人，也可以是指的是我们自己的受制约的心意。
And he also goes on to explain that the pseudo guru may appear in one or both of two forms.
他解释到说，这假咕噜可以以一种甚至多种的方式展示出来。
And this may be someone who preaches sense gratification or liberation or both.
比如说，一直在传播有关感官享乐的教导，或者是传播有关获得解脱的教导的这一类咕噜。
And in some cases, it may be a person who is engaged in some Krishna conscious activity, but has not realized pure devotional service, and he tries to give instructions beyond his own understanding.
而在有的情况下，这种假咕噜就指的是，的人，但是还没有觉悟，纯粹的奉爱服务，但同时他又给。
Hare Krishna.Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
And what Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, it could be one's own conditioned mind. So if we accept the mind as our spiritual guide and just rely upon the mind to speculate, you know,using the material mind just to try to understand things, he says that's also like putana.
他也说假咕噜也指的是也包括我们的受制约的心意。我们如果把我们的心意受制约的物质的心意当作我们灵性生活的向导，就会去思辨。就会用物质的心意去理解我。
So yes, of course, it refers to unqualified gurus.
所以说啊，这些假咕噜就包括代表着这些没有资格的咕噜。
And that unqualified guru could be either, could be diksha or shiksha.
假咕噜或者说没有资格的咕噜，可以包括训示咕噜，也包括启迪咕噜。
That's why we should be very discerning when we choose guru.
所以我们在选择咕噜的时候一定要有分辨力。
Both diksha and shiksha.
不管是选diksha, 启迪灵性导师还是 shiksha, 训示灵性导师都要有很好的辨识力。
Don't accept someone so quickly.
不要很仓促的很快的就接受一个灵性导师。
Don't accept someone because another person tells you to do it.
不要因为别人让你选这个人为灵性导师你就接受。
You have to understand the philosophy, and hopefully if you take the disciples course, you'd understand a little bit more about Guru Tattva.And how to select? What are you looking for in terms of the qualifications of such a person?
对，最好是能够理解。
哎不？
有关咕噜的知识，真相，明白怎么样去选一位，明白怎么样去选一位灵性导师，灵性导师的资格是什么？
So take the time.
所以慢慢来，不要着急。
Make sure you know what you're looking for.
要知道自己寻找的是什么。
I'm reminded of a conversation that Prabhupada had with some famous person, and Prabhupada was speaking about the importance of accepting guru, and the person said the problem is how to find such a qualified guru.
我想起了是了 Prabhupada 和一个很有名的人士的一段对话，在对话当中对方就问到说怎样才能找到一个有资格，圣帕在讲到选择一位灵性导师的重要性，对方就问到怎样才能找到灵性导师呢？
Prabhupada said, the problem is whether you are sincere. If you are sincere, Krishna will send you a guru.
圣帕帕的回答说，问题是你是不是真诚，如果你真诚的话， Krishna 就会派来一位灵性导师给你。
So we should be very discerning in our selection.
所以在选择灵性导师方面，我们要有辨识力。
Number 10.
第十个问题 ,Dorpati Madhaji. 有奉献者传教很积极热情，派书籍也很有头脑，也派出了很多瓦坛和梵歌，那也会他也会明理暗理的批评指责其他奉献者的不作为，不努力传教的作为，这也能积累虔诚活动到达主那里去吗？
Well, I think it goes without saying that we don't want to criticize others. We would rather inspire others. Criticism doesn't usually have much value. It's negative, and usually people respond to negative criticism, with more of the same, basically, and it creates this cycle. So better to avoid criticism, better to set a good example as an enthusiastic preacher and a book distributor, rather than criticizing others.
所以我们原则是不批评别人，因为批评一般没有什么多大的价值，批评大多都是负面的，那对方回应的方式也基本上是同样的负面的方式。 所以说我们尽量的去避免批评别人，我们最好是能够去鼓舞别人，做一个成为一个热情的传教者，积极的派书者，以此来鼓舞别人，而不是批评别人。
More positive would be that if you have some expertise, in that area, you could, help others to learn the technique. If you've been, experiencing good results, then perhaps you can help to teach others.
一个积极的做法就是，如果你在某个服务方面很有专业的经验，很擅长，也取得了很好的结果，那你可以培训教，可以教别人。
That will be more constructive. We don't want to offend others just for criticizing for the sake of criticism. It doesn't really have any positive value. It's not going to inspire someone to necessarily change for the better.
我们不想为了批评而去批评，这不会有什么积极的效果，没有什么价值的，不会帮对方变得更好。
And if we do commit Vaishnava Aparadha, it's a huge obstacle to going back to Godhead.
反倒会造成 Vaishnava Aparadha 会造成对奉献者的冒犯，这倒成了我们回归守神的一大障碍了。
In fact,we may lose the opportunity for many lifetimes.
实际上，如果冒犯了奉献者，我们可能会连续很多个生世失去做奉爱服务的机会。
So please don't offend devotees. That doesn't serve any good purpose.
所以一定不要冒犯奉献者，这没有任何好处的。
We'll work, through positive channels to inspire others to preach and to distribute Prabhupada's books.
所以通过积极的方式，积极的渠道去鼓舞别人，积极的传教，热情的传教，派发圣普拉帕德的书籍。
Question 11.
问题，第十一个问题，请问，那么Maharani Mataji，请问出现在 Krishna 消时光的恶魔是否与黑人亚克西普尔一样，都是 Krishna 的奉献者？
Well, we know in most cases, there's the devotees of some caliber. They may have been posted as demigods prior, and they're taking part, but they're all some kind of devotee.
在有。有很多情况下我们看到这些恶魔都是某种类型或者某种层面的奉献者，比如说一些半神人，他们也都是某种程度的奉献者。
Of course, it's not that every demon is listed in our Bhagavatam. We only are getting, some main ones. So, there could be some other category, but, generally like that.
一般来说是这样，就是圣典薄伽罗坛当中罗列的这些恶魔，但是并不是每一个都是这样，都其中一些是扮演着这样的角色。
12.
第十二个问题，怎样才能取悦？
Go.
Hi, Krishna. Question number 12.
You just came back. You read it?
Yes.
Well, the best way to please Radharani is to not commit aparadha, means offenses, which are said, aparad means against Radha. Aparadha. Apa, against Radha.
我们说冒犯这个词的梵文词是 aparadha, APA 的意思就是反对，也就是反对，背离 RADA， 也就是说我们如果冒犯的话就是背离 RADA 的。
There are different categories of offenses. There's Seva Aparad, there's Vaishnava Aparad, there's Nam Aparad.
要举Radha Rani第一个首先要做的就是避免冒犯。那冒犯有不同的种类，有 Seva Aparad， 在崇拜主做服，在做服务的过程当中犯下的冒犯，还有 Vaishnava Aparad， 冒犯奉献者， Nam Aparad， 对圣名的冒犯。
So as far as possible, we want to avoid committing offenses.
所以要尽可能的避免冒犯。
It seems the easiest offense to commit is Vaishnava Aparad.
最容易犯下的冒犯就是 Vaishnava Aparad.
And that affects everything. It affects our sadhana, affects our service.
一旦犯下了 Vaishnava Aparad, 冒犯了奉献者的话，那我们的其他一切都会受到影响，我们的撒旦的规范修习，我们的服务全都会受到影响。
And all of this is working against Srimati Radharani.
所有的这些冒犯都是和 Radharani 背道而驰的。
So to please her, we have to work with her, for her, represent her.
所以要取悦Radharani， 我们就要和他一道，配合他去服务，为了他去服务，取悦他。
So we try our best not to commit offenses.
所以我们尽最大的努力避免冒犯。
And we have to pray to her, you know, through our chanting, you know, Oh Srimati Radharani, please, please help me.
而且通过我们的念诵向 Radharani 祈祷，Oh, 亲爱的 Srimati Radharani， 请帮助我吧。
Oh, energy of the Lord, Oh Lord, please engage me in your service.
我们在念诵的时候就是在祈祷，Oh, 主的能量啊，主啊，请让我为你们服务吧。
Please give me shelter.
请给我庇护。
Please protect my Bhakti Lata creeper.
请保护我的 Bhakti Lata 蔓藤，奉爱的蔓藤。
Give me the strength to resist committing offenses.
请给我力量，让我能够避免犯下各种冒犯。
Please infuse me with love for Krishna.
请让我充满对 Krishna 的爱。
In this way we can please Srimati Radharani.
通过这些方式，我们就能够取悦 Srimati Radharani。
13. 第13个问题
Rajendra Prabhu 的问题。Krishna 亲手杀死恶魔与 Krishna 的化身杀死的恶魔结果都一样吗？都获得解脱吗？貌似不是这样，有什么区别吗？
So, well, we have some examples in which the answer is yes. I mean,In terms of some Leela avatars, like we have Varahadev, and as we know, Varahadev kills Hiranyaksha.
从某些逍遥时光，尤其是来看，尤其是主的 Leela avatar， 他的逍遥时光化身的这些逍遥时光来看，是这样的。比如说，Varahadev。杀掉了黑暗 Yaksha.
And of course we know that both Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, they are reinstated in their positions as the gatekeepers in Vaikuntha.
我们知道黑暗 Yaksha 和黑暗 Yakshipu 被主杀掉之后都重新回到了他们原本的角色，成为了 Vaikuntha 的看门人。
And same as with Nrisingadev. And now, of course, Varahadev, he's a boar, boar-like creature. Of course, he's not a boar, but he appears like that. And Nrisingadev, half man, half lion. So, you know, they're not the form of Krishna, but Varahadev slays Hiranyaksha and the Sringadev slays Hiranyakashipu.
Varaha Dev 还有你 Sringadev 都不是 Krishna 原本的形象 Varaha Dev 是熊猪的形象的化身 Sringadev 是半人半狮的形象 但是 Varaha Dev 杀掉 Hiranyaksha 你 Sringadev 杀掉 Hiranyakashipu 都让他们获得了解脱
And finally, 14.
第14个问题, 如何判断假奉献者又如何面对?
Well, if we're using the word pseudo, that's what the translation here, pseudo, means false. Is that the understanding?
这问题里面谈到说假,
Are we saying one who pretends to practice Krishna consciousness but actually does not?
嗯, he only used the word false or pseudo.
Well,
there's no elaboration
yeah,
about
so,
how false.
Yeah, it would be hard then. But, you know, if someone is a pretender, if someone is pretending to be a devotee and is not really a devotee, Well, this is something for our senior devotees to deal with. I mean, you have group leaders, you know, if it's someone who is like a member or something like that, and that's something for the group leader to deal with, or, you know, our other leaders, senior devotees, leaders, they should deal with this.
这个问题里面说的是假奉献者不知道具体是什么意思是不是说假装的奉献者的人还是怎样如果只是在假装那我们要看具体情况要是这样的情况的话就需要年长奉献者或者当地的组长领导的奉献者来处理
Now, if we are trying to indicate that someone is not very advanced, you know, that one isn't a real devotee, as in like a Kanishta Adhikari, who's also called the Prakrita Bhakta, materialistic devotee, that's a little different.
Okay. 故意假装的奉献者那是一回事需要当地的组长来处理那如果说你想说的是并不那么进步的奉献者初级奉献者 Kanishta Adhikari 或者 Prakrita Bhakta 是刚刚初级的奉献者那是另外一回事
If one is Kanishta Adhikari he or she can be helped to advance by someone who's more advanced than he or she.
如果是 Kanishta, 你说的这个假奉献者指的是 初级的奉献者 Kanishta Adhikari 的话，那就比他更进步的奉献者就可以帮助他。
Unfortunately, we seem to have a fair amount of Kanishta Adhikaris in our Krishna consciousness movement.
但不幸的是，在我们 Krishna 智觉运动当中，我们也有不少处在 Kanishta Adhikari 层面的奉献者，初级的奉献者。
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Sorry, cut. Did you say that?
Unfortunately, we have a fair amount of Kanishta
Adhikaris
in our. Okay, yes.
Yeah, because they've only understood a certain portion of our philosophy or accepted only a certain portion of our philosophy.
我们说，初级奉献者指的就是，只是 理解了或者只是接受了我们 Krishna 之觉的哲学的一部分。
And you know, they can bow down to Krishna in the temple, they can bow down to Diksha Guru perhaps, but they can't appreciate the other devotees.
那所谓的初级奉献者就指的是他们可能会在庙宇里面顶拜 Krishna, 会向他的启迪灵性导师顶拜，但是却无法欣赏其他的奉献者。
You know, and they will, they will kind of, position themselves in such a way to avoid being, critiqued by others who are more advanced than them or guided by others. And they'll just say, I only listen to my guru.
他具体表现就是他不愿意得到别人的批评指导，只想听。只听自己的咕噜。
Yeah, what does that mean then? Well, what the obvious implication of that is that the person is not ready to follow anybody except their own mind.
当一个人说我只听我的咕噜的时候，那说明他其实谁都不听的，只是在听自己的心意。
Because guru says,Cooperate with the other devotees, serve the other devotees, you know, take the instruction of your seniors and your leaders. And so that's the instruction guru is giving. But if the disciple doesn't follow, then that means also disobeying the guru. So it's just a sentiment. I only listen to my guru. But when the guru gives instructions, they don't follow.
如果说有一个奉献人说我只听我的咕噜的，其他谁的都不听，那说明他谁的都没听，因为他如果真是只听真的听他的咕噜的话，那咕噜给他的训示是去和其他奉献者合作，去服务其他奉献者，从年长者和领导者那里接受训示，听从他们的安排，如果没有去听的话，那说明他所谓的我只听咕噜的，那只是一种感情用事，并没有真正听灵性导师给他的训示。
So just as there are characteristics to determine who a Kanishtha is, there are characteristics to understand who the Madhyam is.
Kanishtha, 初级奉献者有初级奉献者的特征，同样的，中级奉献者也有一些特征。
The Madhyam is one who has love for Krishna.
Madhyam, 中级奉献者是爱 Krishna.
But not only for Krishna, but also for Krishna's devotees.
中级奉献者的特征是不光爱 Krishna, 也会爱 Krishna 的奉献者。
And love for Krishna's devotees is expressed through service.
对 Krishna 的奉献者的爱是通过对他们的服务表现出来的。
To serve the devotees.
服务奉献者。
Also has compassionate, has compassion for those less fortunate, those who are in ignorance.
而且对处在愚昧形态当中的不幸的人充满怜悯。
Tries to give, you know, a lifeline to such persons by giving them Krishna consciousness.
通过给予愚昧中的人们 Krishna 之觉，从而给予他们救命的绳索。
And avoids the envious.
避免嫉妒者。
So,Kanishtas should aspire then and work towards coming to the level of Madhyam Adhikari.
So, 处在 Kanishtha Adhikari, 处在初级阶段的初级奉献者阶段的奉献者应该努力达到中级奉献者的层面。
That's done largely through developing a proper attitude.
这主要是通过培养正确的态度。
The attitude of service.
服务的态度。
Mahaprabhu has said that we should serve with humility.
马哈帕布说，我们应该谦卑的服务。
With tolerance.
容忍，带着容忍的心态服务。
Not desiring, you know, praise for ourselves.
不渴望别人赞美我们自己。
But offering all praise to others.
而是随时向别人致敬，随时赞美欣赏别人。
These are our guidelines.
这些都是一些指导的原则。
So if we would all do that, then how wonderful the atmosphere would become.
如果我们大家都朝这个方向努力的话，我们社团的氛围会有多么美好啊。
We would then have a you first society rather than me first society.
这样的话，我们的社团就会变成一个总是以您为先的这样的文化，形成这样的文化，而不是事事都是我为先。
That is the mood that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exemplified.
这样的心态也是Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu亲自为我们示范的。
Even though he's Krishna himself, he comes in the guise of his devotee to teach us how to become a servant.
虽然Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 就是 Krishna 本人，但是他却以他奉献者的身份到来，就是为了教导我们怎样做一个仆人，怎样去服务。
So if we study Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's dealings with his devotees, we get some sense of what it means to be a devotee.
如果我们去学习研究一下 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 是怎样和奉献者们打交道的，我们就能够得到很大的启发，知道到底怎么样做一位奉献者。
Otherwise, we'll just continue to remain on the Kanishtha Adhikari platform.
否则的话，我们就一直停留在 Kanishtha Adhikari 初级奉献者的层面。
And we certainly don't want to do that. We don't want to continue in this way because a society of Kanishtha Adhikaris, they will simply argue amongst themselves and very little will be achieved.
我们可不想这样继续永远持续做 Kanishtha Adhikari 初级奉献者。如果一个社团当中都是 Kanishtha Adhikari 初级奉献者的话，那么这个社团当中就只能充满互相的争论争吵。
So that's our challenge as members of ISKCON to, you know, rise from the platform of Kanishtha to Madhyam.
这就是我们的挑战 ,ISKCON 的成员，我们都应该努力从 Kanishtha 初级奉献者的层面提升到 Madhyam Adhikari 中级奉献者的层面。
Let's work on that before setting our sights so high to become an Uttama Adhikari.
首先做到这一点，先提升到Madhyam Adhikari。再说提升到最高层面 Uttama Adhikari 的层面。
All right, I think I have answered all the questions and I am going to have to exit because I have another meeting at 8:30. So I want to thank all the devotees for so kindly listening today.
之前的问题到现在就回答完毕了。因为我还有一个八点半还有一个会议，所以就到这里结束了。感谢每位奉献者的聆听。
I see that there are some additional questions. Yeah, we'll carry them forward the next time.
我看到还有三个问题，今天的三个问题我们会留下来，下次再回答。
Krishna willing, we shall meet again in a week's time.
Krishna 愿意的话。一周后的同一时间我们再见。
So please be well.
请大家多保重。
And use the opportunity to improve your practice of sadhana.
利用好当下的这个机会很好的修习，做规范修习。
And try your best to share Krishna consciousness with others.
尽力和别人分享 Krishna 知觉。
And please be in the mood of serving the other devotees.
也请总是处在服务其他奉献者的心态中。
So we thank Sati Mataji for facilitating.
感谢 Sati Mataji 安排今天的早课。
Shyamalila for translation.
感谢 Shyamalila 的翻译。
Again, all of you for listening.
也感谢大家的专注聆听。
Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Jai.
And Samaveta Bhaktivinda ki jai.
Jai.
Itai Gopremanandi. Hari Hari Bo.
Hari Hari Bo. Thank you, Kumar.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.